I told Vance this morning, my PowerPoint, 5-year-old could do. Sort of the level of my PowerPoint. In our last Pray and Praise, Don selected the theme, Be Humble, and we spoke on that topic. Reading through the Proverbs, as we just did recently, they speak to the obverse topic, pride. As Joan would recognize my one word, love of one words. The first step today is to bring some clarification to the word pride, what it is not necessarily, which is doing a good job or good work and being proud of it. We all, when we hit certain milestones, graduating high school, graduating college, we're proud of that. We're happy that we have the reward for all the hard work we put into it. That's not the pride that the Bible is speaking of. That's gratification for doing the reward of doing good work. Perhaps the better word to use to show the equivalent of the word pride that Proverbs does use, as we just saw, is arrogant, which Proverbs also uses, and we just heard that from David's reading. In chapter 16, verse 5, everyone who is arrogant is an abomination to the Lord. Now, we're familiar with this word abomination. It's utterly revolting to someone. In this case, God. We use this many times pointing out homosexuality, where we say, God said that is an abomination to him. Utterly revolting. Why? Because God created his creation his way. Man and a woman, husband and a wife. That is the human family God created. Anything outside of that is sin. It is outside God's direction. And certainly, same-sex homosexuality goes further than that. And God himself says this is an abomination to him, utterly revolting to him. God said that, not me. God said this. We just read the scripture this morning. God says the same thing about that. There it is. Everyone who is arrogant is an abomination, utterly revolting to the Lord. This is God's own declaration. The Bible has many warnings against pride and arrogance. Warnings are meant to keep us from potentially grave danger. There's no one here today who was with us, but a group of us from here a few years ago went to, maybe someone online probably is, went to King's Pinnacle, which is at Crowder's Mountain State Park over King's Mountain Way. And we went to the top. This sign is very close. As you get to the top of the summit, you see this sign. It is very large, so you will not miss it. Serious injuries and deaths have occurred beyond this point. Warning in big red letters. The reason they put that sign there is because they had several fatalities. When you get up to the top, you look down and you can see tens of feet below you is a sheer cliff. At the bottom of it is rocks. And there were a number of people who that happened to. They fell off the cliff. They died. Most of those were accidents. They certainly didn't mean to do that. But warnings, as I said, are given so that we might avoid grave danger. There are people in other places who will see a sign like this and will totally disregard it. They will disregard it for that reason, what I had up there earlier, pride. That is the reason that they will disregard the sign. That sign, that pertains to other people. It doesn't pertain to me. I'm above all of that. And with arrogant attitude, off they go. There are many examples of pride in the Bible that led to disastrous endings. Exodus 14, Pharaoh, who even after being presented with firsthand evidence, being confronted himself with 10 plagues, he was an eyewitness to this. Was it not something that someone reported to him? He saw it with his own eyes. With hardened heart, he led his entire army into the Red Sea floorbed, only to be covered by the sea itself, resulting in the entire annihilation of his army. Verse 28 of Exodus 14 says, not one of them remained. Not one. What got him there? He did not listen. Keep that in mind for the next one of the next scriptures that is coming up. He did not listen. He hardened his heart. He did not listen. It was pride that prevented him. Remember what he said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is that? I don't know him. He was given many opportunities by these plagues to turn and change. His pride utterly stopped him from changing. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now we are talking about the Lord's own people, his covenant people. More than that, the two wicked sons of the high priest of God, Eli, who themselves were priests of God, yet they were wicked. It can happen. It does happen. We have seen it in Vance's class. It is no guarantee that just because they were in covenant with God and the people of Israel, that made them right with God. It obviously did not make these two right with God. We know that from 1 Samuel 4. You can read it. They thought it would be a good idea to use the Ark of God as a good luck charm when the armies of Israel went into battle. They were given no such directive by God. It was pride, their pride, that led them to that conclusion. Let's do it our way. Steadfast in pride. And they paid with their lives for their arrogance. Jeremiah 13 is Jeremiah's prophecy and foretelling of the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem. Remember, God's people, God's holy place. The place God said, that is where my name will be. Where was that? Jerusalem. Jeremiah is foretelling the destruction of that place. This would be the first destruction of Jerusalem. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11, I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, says the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, a glory. But they would not, there's the word, they would not listen. Verse 13, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill with drunkenness all the inhabitants of this land, the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will dash them one against another, fathers and sons together. I will not pity or spare or have compassion that I should not destroy them. Continuing in verse 15, hear and give ear. In other words, listen. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. Verse 17, but if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. See the connection? Those who do not listen stand steadfast in their pride. And these two things are opposed to God. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and queen mother, take a lowly seat, for your beautiful crown has come down from your head. The cities of the Negev are shut up with none to open them. All Judah is taken into exile, wholly taken into exile. This is God's people that God himself is talking to here. You will not listen. You will stand steadfast in your pride, doing it your way. That's not what the covenant said. The covenant said we do it God's way. And hence the judgment. In short, pride kills. We've already seen examples of it. Pride and arrogance can kill you. Fast forward to New Testament times, and just as we studied in our Rich Man and Lazarus study, we met Caiaphas. A powerful miracle had been performed, recorded in John 11. Another Lazarus, a real man, is raised by Jesus from the dead. Many eyewitnesses saw it, not a few, many. And they knew Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. It was an undeniable miracle. Many eyewitnesses that were there saw it and knew this. There was no smoke and mirrors. Yet some leave that very place after what they had just seen and go and tell the Pharisees, who together with the chief priests gather the council. And who presides over the council? Caiaphas. As Vance pointed out in his Bible study, this man is arrogant. How do we know this? By his own words recorded in John 11, 49. Speaking to the council, he said, you know nothing at all. Remember, there are chief priests there with a load of other people there. These are what we would call the best and brightest of Israel there in that council. Yet these are his words. All of you know nothing. I alone am in the know. I alone have the knowledge that will carry the day. And what is that knowledge? That one man should die for the nation. That is what he said. Caiaphas participates and expedites this. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus, during his trial, is brought before the whole council, Caiaphas asked Jesus by an oath if he is the Christ, the Son of God. When Jesus answers affirmatively and correctly, instead of this revelation producing a confession and repentance in this wicked man, his pride just marches on. He continues, he, that is Jesus, has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? He asked the council. Notice now he cares what they think. They answered, he deserves death. This same pride, arrogance, and unbelief will result in their progeny being destroyed in the second destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. Pride indeed kills. It kills because it is opposed to God. Arrogance and pride, we have seen it in the writings of the Proverbs is an abomination to God. He hates it, as David read. When we go to Isaiah chapter 53, which we read many times during the, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we read there, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." We say correctly that this is speaking of Jesus' sacrifice for us, and the griefs and sorrows are spiritual in nature. There's no denying that. Yet, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, we read this. "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law," that is Peter's mother-in-law, "lying sick with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served him. That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." Most of these healings, however, that we read in Matthew are physical in nature. Healing the sick is not primarily a spiritual healing. This shows the dual nature of the prophecy. Think of all the miracles Jesus did. Jesus himself says to the disciples, "Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea," when speaking of the power of faith and believing in what you are asking for. Yet Jesus never did a miracle like that. Is it recorded? Did Jesus hurl mountains about? Certainly people would have believed if they saw that. What about if he split open rocks with lightning bolt? Would that have gotten people's attention? What about walking on the water in the presence of a really large group of people instead of at night in front of an obscure band of people, 12 to be exact? They're the only ones that saw that. Why? Most of Jesus' miracles, as recorded in the Gospels, are human-centric, meaning he did them for their good, spiritually and physically, healing the sick. In other words, he cared about the whole person, not just some segment of them. Think when Jesus turned 120 gallons of water into wine. What spiritual benefit did that have to the wedding that was going on? Who even saw it? Who even knew about it at the wedding? The wine steward, who should have known, didn't know. Most of the guests at that wedding did not know. Small group of people, his disciples, his mother, they knew. And the people who went to get the water, they knew. That wasn't done as a spiritual benefit to the people that were at that wedding. Jesus expects the same of us. That is why the admonition in James 2 states that if we see a brother or sister in need of clothing or daily food and simply say, "Be warm and filled," it doesn't cut it. Now I want to bring this to our present, and here is where it may turn hairy. We, in this place, and when I say this place, I don't mean just this place, I mean this place, where we live, are in the middle of a pestilence. We are in the middle of a plague. They had war in biblical times, and throughout human history, they have had war. Today, we have war. It is still with us. They had pestilence in biblical times and throughout human history. We have pestilence today. It has not gone away. it will never go away until God closes out the age. Last time I preached, I gave you the figures. They have gone up since as we swing fully into wave four. We now have over 650,000 people dead in our country alone. Argue with the specifics if you like. Give or take 100,000, it's still an enormous amount of dead people. The Vietnam War raged for 10 years. About just under 60,000 men died there. 10 years. This plague has been with us a year and a half. 10 times that amount of people have died from it. What role, and this is specific to my lesson this morning, did pride play? That is the question. Consider Nashville radio talk host Phil Valentine. In December 2020, Phil said, "I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just using common sense. What are my odds of getting COVID? They're pretty low. What are my odds of dying from COVID if I do get it? Probably way less than 1%. These are Phil's words. They're not mine. They're Phil's. Phil sang a parody of the Beatles song, Taxman. He changed it to Vaxman. If you don't like me coming round, be thankful I don't hold you down. We're going to hold people down and jab them with vaccinations. 7 months after his December proclamation, that would be last month, July of 2021, he got very sick with COVID and was ultimately put on a ventilator. Last Saturday, August 21st, counter to his common sense, he died. Pride can lead us counter to the evidence. We've already seen the examples of this in the scripture. 10 plagues came to the eyes of Pharaoh. He just overrode every one of them and disregarded the evidence and actually ran counter to it. Pride kills. Now, some of you have heard the example that preachers have used before of the life preserver. Someone is in the water, they're drowning. Another person who's on a ship or on land sends them a life preserver. But they push it away. No, no. I know how God will save me. He's going to save me miraculously. He's going to pull me out of the water. I know this. How they know it? But they know it. They ultimately drown because they rejected the remedy. The remedy was there. Here it is for you. Just grab it. The preacher will then ask, "Why did that man drown?" And sometimes people will answer, "Because he did not take the life preserver." The preacher will then say, "No, he drowned because he was in the water." You can't drown unless you're in the water. For Phil Valentine, COVID was the water. He died from COVID. The remedy was the vaccine. He chose not to get it. He got COVID in July. In June of this year, anywhere in America, you could have walked in without an appointment. He could have. And gotten this vaccine, and it was free, like the free gift of eternal life that Jesus gives to us. It's a free gift. When this plague first hit our country, one of the first things we did was pray for a remedy. Prayed for that. our then President Trump initiated Operation Warp Speed. We were told a vaccine like this could take years to develop, even up to a decade. Yet, in only 7 months, relief was on the way. The first vaccine was rolled out in December of 2020. I remember here publicly praying and thanking God who we had prayed to for relief for sending it. Because I did not want to be like the 9 lepers who asked to be healed. We went through this not long ago. They asked to be healed. Please heal us. And Jesus did. And they never bothered, 9 never bothered to return thanks to the one who had healed them for what they asked for. And now here we were asking for it and we received it. Should we not thank God for what he sent? Certainly it has been a journey. It started off very nebulous with not many knowing anything about it, perhaps even skeptical if it even existed. Maybe it was just a variant of the flu. But as time went by, we came to know personally people who got infected with this disease. Then the remedy came, the vaccines. Yet still there were many who did not avail themselves of it. And for many, this is the reason. Recently, we have heard of many others. Our prayer list in your bulletin is very long. There are quite a number of people on that list that we are praying for, hopefully, who have COVID. It is not only for those who have been very ill with the disease, but now for families who have lost loved ones. They are gone. They are gone because of this disease. It is real. This is not a report from some far-off impersonal news outlet. We have several members right here who have reported it to us, and it has come through our emails. You can talk to them. They know of real people with real names. Philip, Michael, Richard. They were all living a short time ago. They are all dead now. They are dead because of COVID. That's why they are dead. When a fire rages like what is happening out west, or tornadoes or hurricanes come through the land, as we saw the tornadoes go through Tennessee a year or two ago, it does not discern. It does not avoid and go around certain political groups. Oh, stop here, make a left. It doesn't go around Christians either. Brethren suffered and lost. We know that. The reports were there. Brethren that we know in Tennessee suffered. Some of them died from those tornadoes that went through. Now let me be clear here. We are being recorded. And I want to make it very clear. As I am speaking of pride, I want to be sure not to come off as a 21st century Caiaphas. I am not pretending to know every single circumstance. That is not my aim this morning. I am not a doctor, let that be known. And I certainly leave it to health professionals to give their personalized advice and for people to heed it. I know that there are unique reasons why people cannot take the vaccine. And there are numerous other good reasons why people will not take the vaccine. I'm not speaking to any of those issues. Okay, so I want to be very clear about that. I'm not talking about any of those things. I have a limited scope of exhortation today. And it is that. What I'm saying is, don't let this be the reason. This is not, pride is not to be found in our character. It is opposed to God's will. That is very, very clear. I hope it's very, very clear this morning. We just read straight from God's word. I didn't make it up. You heard David read it. You heard me expound on it. God is the one who said that. The arrogant are an abomination to him. Pride, God hates. God talking, not me. This should not be in our character at all. There are many sins we need to avoid for our own good and well-being. Pride is one of them. We need to avoid it like the plague.